Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
We roll along here. No Joe today. Joe's out. He'll be back tomorrow. I think it's Joe and Donnie football on a football Friday tomorrow at 84 Lumber. So that'll be a good remote. In the meantime, we're opening up the phone lines now at 412-928-9370. So if you want to give us a shout, this is the time to do it. We'll talk about a lot of things. And we've covered hockey. We've covered the Steelers with Chris Oak. We'll still get into that. But Austin, I also want to get your take on what's going on with the Pirates and all these rumored potential signings. You know, I'm of the belief that I won't see anything and believe anything until I actually firmly see it. It's done. You could be involved in a lot of things, but you have to close the deal. You have to deliver the baby, as they say. They need help. They know it. How far will they go to get it?
Yeah, I come back to what Skeen said after winning the Cy Young, which I thought was, you know, really fascinating. It was just three words. Talk is cheap. And I feel like that
he knows it, and time's running out on them to
right,
get something done.
That was Skeens' message, and it's a coincidence, and I don't know if you believe in that type of thing, Bob, but I do find it strange that after Skeens said that, the narrative has been, oh, well, the Jeff Passan story has come out. Schwarber, Josh Naylor, actually having Connor Griffin start the year on the big league club, their interest in the two Japanese hitters. Robert Murray comes out yesterday on FanSided on his video chat and says, yeah, the Pirates do want to spend some money. So I wonder how connected that all is. But I'm with you. I will not believe that they're actually going to do something until they make a big move and they sign someone to a significant contract. Then I hope it's a domino effect. Whether it's you sign a big free agent first, which I think would be better than trading Keller first for a bat. The narrative, I think, would, you know, definitely be in their favor if they sign somebody and then trade Keller for a guy that can come back. And then if you extend Griffin, Bob, that's the perfect offseason, and I don't think you're breaking the bank in doing that. I don't.
Yeah, that's a tough topic for me about doing that right off the bat. I understand why teams do it, and certainly they've had success in Milwaukee with Jackson Churio, and there have been other examples of this. I would like to see a little bit, and it may cost me more money if I wait, but I also would like to see a little bit from him up here, what he can do. He has all the natural talent to do it. He seems like a great kid. He has a great work ethic. So it's someone you would love to sign if he's willing to do it. Not unlike what Churio got, not unlike what some of these guys get right off the bat. Atlanta's done that before with some of their players, and they got them to great deals. They really did. So if you do it early enough, you can get good value out of it. But I still, there's a part of me wants to see it happen. And there's also the reverse of that. You can give a guy money in advance, and then he turns out not to do well. And we've seen that with some of the Pirates over the years. And they weren't big contracts, but they believed in them and gave them some money. So before I see that, I want to see them go out and actually spend some real money on some real free agents. Kyle Schwarber wants like $30 million a year.
Yeah.
To me, that's more than a gracious market value. I think he probably with 56 home runs, 132 runs batted in.
Yeah.
He should get more than that. But if that's the case.
Well, it's age, and he can't play defense.
Okay, so what? You need a DH. It's a permanent part of the game, right? You need to have someone up there every single day providing that sort of run production. Come on. I don't care where he plays. He can sit in a dugout all day long, but if he hits a home run every other game, I'll take it.
Yeah, and I'll forget about the strikeouts. He'll walk 100 times during the season. I talked about this a little bit last night, Bob, and somebody was tweeting at me that said, well, he's going to strike out a ton, and he doesn't hit for a high average.
Who cares?
I don't care when the guy hits 56 home runs. If the guy doesn't hit for a high average and, you know, only hits 8 home runs and drives in 45 runs, a la Jared Triolo, then we can have that discussion.
Yeah,
but I mean, there's no reason why you should deny Kyle Schwarber from being here because he'll hit 230, but he'll hit the ball out of the ballpark 50-plus times and driven. When is the last time somebody for the Pirates has driven in 100 runs? Josh Bell?
Probably. I mean, when's the last time someone hit 50 home runs? You'd have to go 40 even.
Stargell?
Back to Willie Stargell.
Right.
And that's decades and decades of going. This is an era where you should get guys once in a while who hit that kind of power. So that's what they need, and that's what they should do, and we'll see how it goes. But I'm not holding my breath here.
No.
If I did, I'd probably be disappointed and not alive too much longer. So, but it's on them. They know it. Paul Skenes knows it. Everybody knows it.
There should be a little bit of worry, though, too, Bob, that this becomes the Steelers wide receiver two type of thing, where there's a lot of talk about it. Oh, we tried, but then they ultimately didn't get the job done. It can't be that. It can't.
Yeah, I know. Well, my wide receiver two would have been George Pickens, and I would have taken my shots at it. It's a risky business. Anything you do is risky. So I would have bet that he would have come in and played well and given me opportunities on the opposite side of DK Metcalf. But in the meantime, we're talking whatever you want to talk about. We open the door on the Pirates, so I know we have Pirate calls, Austin. There always seems to be the case.
Yeah, let's start with Bob and Braddock to chime in.
What's up, Bob?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Hey, just Bob, we're about the same age. Anyway, remember Robin Yount?
Oh, yeah, Milwaukee.
He came up when he's 18.
Right.
He's a Hall of Famer. So give the kid a shot. I mean, what else do we have to lose? I mean,
no, I think he should be up here, absolutely. But I'm a little bit more reluctant to give out a big deal right off the bat. He hasn't yet turned 19, and I want to see a little bit before I do that. But if I see enough, then I would do that. I'd try to get him to sign an 8-year deal, 9-year deal if I could.
Yeah, I understand. I mean, he seems like a good kid. He's got a good head on his shoulders. And his work ethic's there. So I say give him a shot. And as far as Kyle Schwarber, just bite the bullet and spend the money. I'm tired of the talk. Last year was the first year I didn't go to a game in years. It's been years. I just can't. I know my ticket sales is not going to make or break the Pirates Bank, but you know, I just couldn't do it. And I'd love to go back to the ballpark.
Well, you should. I would never tell you not to go. I still think it's a great night out. There's a lot of things you can do there, especially if you have kids. But yeah, you want to see winning baseball. You don't want to just go there for the entertainment and the pierogies. If you do that, then it's not a complete night. You need competitive baseball, and that's what they're trying to get. Thanks, Bob. Appreciate it. Next up is
Rich, and Rich is in Buffalo. Maybe he's with
Joe. Home of the MVP of the league, who may put out a case to have another MVP in Josh Allen based on how he's playing. He's single-handedly keeping that team afloat, it looks like, Rich.
Tough guy. He's certainly the MVP as far as I'm concerned. I think they need a coaching change. I'm a Pittsburgher that got relocated to Buffalo. So, hey, a couple things here. I think when the Pirates are put in a position to have to make a splash, they do the stupid thing. And the last splash was the Chris Archer trade. Not only did they get a bad player, they gave away all their chips. I think that
signing wouldn't be. That's different than trading. We're talking about signing free agents.
No, I'm with you, but it all comes from the construct of the move. I mean, this is an organization that isn't, it's not a destination stop for these players. These players have things besides money. I think Major League Baseball knows that Ben Cherington doesn't have the assets or the ability to make a trade to get the kind of bat he wants. So they're going to have to overpay, and there's just no doubt about that. And the quality bats that are on the market, they just won't have enough chips on the table to be able to buy those four or five players.
It's an open market. You can do whatever you want to do. You can choose to spend or choose not to spend. They've chosen not to spend, but you can change that.
Well, I mean, that past performance is best predictor of future performance.
I agree.
I'm not saying they're not going to spend. I'm saying that their definition of spend and my definition of spend or yours are probably different.
Yeah, but when you have a generational pitcher like Paul Skenes, you know you're going to get every time out. And you have Chandler, who could be, you know, maybe a little step down, but somebody similar to that. They got a lot of pitching. I would imagine if you're never going to spend, now is the time to spend. And if you don't spend now, then you're right. Never will you spend. But this is the time to do it for at least a couple of more years to try to get this window open and go somewhere.
Yeah, Bob, you could extend that argument to if they have all this generational talent that's about ready to come onto the scene, then why did they retain this general manager to navigate them through it? He's got no history, no track record. You might say, well, he got them, these guys. They've been a failure for 10 years. They ought to have more than what they have. I mean, this past week was an embarrassment. They released 10 players, 10 stiffs from their 40-man roster. And most people nationally don't know any of these names. Plus, there's probably five more stiffs. So after 6 or 7 years, you've got 30, 40% of your roster made up of stiffs. That doesn't suggest to me that this is a general manager that's competent in terms of navigating these sort of waters. I mean, I'd love for my kid to, when he was 16 years old and I was teaching him how to drive, to drive around D.C., the beltway around D.C. and Maryland, he would have got killed. You know, he had still enough to keep the car on the road when it was a two-lane road. But, you know, we're talking about an eight-lane superhighway here. And, you know, Ben Cherington seems like a nice guy. But, yeah, this tells me everything I need to know about Cherington. You know, if I have the Hope Diamond in my house, I'm not going to take it to K Jewelers to get it cleaned, you know.
Rich, I appreciate the call. You make some good points. And, yes, it's all on his plate right now, and they've chosen to stick with the same administration that has failed them for all these years, so it's up to them. And that is the narrative. How will they change it, and will they just continue to do what they've always done and say they're trying and look at how much – it's very different to look at, okay, how much money did you spend in the offseason? If the answer is $30 million, however, you only had six guys, you brought in six guys for $30 million, that's telling you you're not going for, you know, the big-time – bat producers. You're going for just little pieces like Tommy Pham, like Adam Frazier, like all the guys they typically will bring in. They got to go away from that trend. And if they do, I think they would be at least applauded for their efforts. Wouldn't you say that, Austin? I would, even if Kyle Schwarber signs here, and let's say he doesn't hit 56, let's say he hits 26, 30. Okay, you may be disappointed in that production based on what you're playing, but at least you gave it a shot. You got to give it a shot.
Yeah, here. You gave it an opportunity. You gave it a chance. And, you know, injuries might happen. I can't imagine that Schwarber will drop down by 30 home runs. But, yeah, you got to at least go out there and make it worth your time and effort. Go out there and actually take an opportunity, take a risk, and sign somebody. Even if you overpay a little bit. You have to be comfortable being uncomfortable, Bob. And that's an area where they just have not been.
They're not forced to do anything but stay in their comfort zone. All right, let's move along. We have a lot of people on the lines here. Love to talk to you. Who's next, Austin?
Here's our guy Johnny and Farrell to chime in.
Johnny. Here's Johnny.
Hey, Bob.
What's up?
Hey, let's play a little money ball here, okay, with the Pirates.
Okay.
All right. So there's a thing called a Pythagorean winning percentage formula, and you figure that out on potential RBI, blah, 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 blah. So the Pirates only needed to have 148 more RBIs last year for 100 wins, right? So we could find three players with 300 to 350 RBIs, 325 to 350 RBIs. We would only need to find 370 more RBIs on the rest of that roster. So three guys come in at 3 to 350, the whole rest of the roster only has to come in with 370 RBIs. So you just do that. You just have your RBI totals be at the threshold of what 100 wins would be, which is only 150 more RBIs.
All right. Well, you got to go out and get 148 to 50. Or you can get one of them and one guy in Schwarber.
Well, you got to get your 300 to 350 first. So your Schwarber and the other two that Limits was talking about last night, they would bring you up to about 350 RBIs, those three guys, Schwarber and those other two.
Eugenio Suarez was one of them, and Jared Duran from Boston is who we were discussing.
Yeah, but that's being awfully aggressive.
All of them is very aggressive.
I would just be, if they made one of those, I would be probably happy.
Well, what I suggested was you sign Suarez. You could probably get him for, you know, 3 years and
90 million,
20 plus million, 25 maybe, per season. Jared Duran, you're going to trade Mitch Keller potentially for him, plus add a prospect. Duran is not going to cost the money that Keller is costing right now. And then you go out there and sign another bat. I don't think that's all out of the realm of possibility. If you want to be aggressive, it shouldn't be.
It shouldn't be, but it will be. That's too much for them.
It comes down to this, Bob. If you find that 300 to 350 RBIs, we're going to go to the playoffs. You got to just find those RBIs. That's it. That's all you got to do.
A better statement is you got to pay for RBIs. You don't find them. They're out there. You just have to pay for them. Thanks, Johnny. Appreciate that. At 412-928-9370. Always a top. Now, hot stove is never hot around here. It's always just lukewarm, and then it gets cold.
Ah, the lukewarm stove.
Yeah,
yes.
I mean, it never does get hot. I would love it to get hot. I want to see more of that. They say it. They say they're looking to do it. They say they want to be a playoff team. As Paul Skeens himself said, talk is cheap. Who's going to talk to us next?
Here is Tyler in Monroeville.
What's up, Tyler?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good. I got a little thing to just say right now. So if you guys just give me like 2 seconds, I just want to at least make a point here, okay, about the Pirates. So earlier this week, I was a little curious about their spending habits and what they spent when they were competing 10 years ago with where the market was 10 years ago with where we're at today with the market. And overall, they spend less than one standard deviation away from the mean today versus what they were spending 10 years ago in 2015. So what that means is, as more teams are spending today to get guys, the Pirates are spending less today than what they were 10 years ago. And as I could break that down a little bit more for you, I was bored. I was at work, and I wanted to take my mind off some stuff. So I spent 30 minutes doing this. So I pulled some numbers from SpotTrack, and what I got was 10 years ago, the standard deviation was about $48 million away from the mean. Today, the standard deviation is about $73 million. The Pirates are spending less than one standard deviation from what other teams are spending today versus what they spent 10 years ago when they were competing to win. And
well, all you have to do, Tyler,
is even less.
And this would, proof your, make it, what's the word I'm looking for? All the work you just put in, all you have to do is look at their history of signing free agents. Only one. In 10 years. One multi-year free agent. Oh, that's it. So that confirms what you're pretty much saying.
Well, it's not even that, though. If I can go in a little bit more to this, if you look at their obligated contracts for next season, there's only two guys they have signed, and that's Reynolds and that's Keller. Now, if you look at their arbitration-eligible players, that's basically everyone they had last year, and they let go of four guys yesterday. So that's about another $3-4 million off the books. So they're only obligated to, I think, $58 million next year. So when they say they're going to spend $30 to $40 million, that's about 5% more than what they spent last year. So it's all PR stunt. They're not going to get Kyle Schwarber. They're not going to get Kyle Tucker. They're not going to get any of these big name guys they should. I have a prediction, and it's a solid prediction, and I know it's going to happen. They're going to get two of three outfielders. It's going to be one of Yastrzemski, Mullins, or Bader. And I have a feeling it's going to be Mullins and Yastrzemski because Bader hit himself out of a small contract. He's going to get signed for like $15 million next year.
Yeah, well, that's not going to get it done. That's just not going to get it done. Tyler, thank you. I appreciate you put the time in for that. But again, that just confirms what we're saying is that they've not been active in free agency and they need to spend more. Whatever theory you use, it'll come out to the same conclusion. That is, they haven't spent enough.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
I want to thank Penn State. I had 12 years there. It's very unusual in college football to get 12 years at a place. Most importantly, the relationships, the staff, the players. The players here at Virginia Tech are going to find out I'm a player's coach. That's what it's all about for me. That's what it always will be.
So that's James Franklin on his press conference yesterday down at Va Tech as he takes over the reins to that ACC program, which has really struggled since Frank Beamer was no longer part of it. They have really, and it's a hotbed for football down there. They love their football. They support their football, but they haven't had anything really to talk about or cheer about. And so now he takes over after getting a $9 million buyout. They reduced that significantly. So Austin and I were talking about, what do you think he makes down there? It's probably, what did you say, 5 years, $8 million a year?
Yeah, so we know that it's a five-year contract that's been reported for Franklin, and we know that the buyout was $49 million with Penn State. So what was written in the contract at Penn State with Franklin was that if he takes another job, the money for the buyout, which was $49 million at Penn State, would offset with Virginia Tech. So just naturally doing the math, it was reported that Penn State and Franklin settled on $9 million. That makes you think that the five-year deal would be for $40 million total, thus being for $8 a year.
And so that's certainly a good value, given the way coaching contracts have jacked up here in the last several. Kirk Cignetti goes from 5 years ago making $450,000 a year as a head coach, but not at a big conference. Now, all of a sudden, because people came calling, he's up to $11 million a year, $9 million, whatever it is. So James Franklin is in a good position, and I think he's a good hire for that university. I really do. I think he's the kind of guy who can bring in, and I imagine they're going to put a whole bunch of money into their program after they bring him down there with the NIL situation and everything else. So people want to go there. And the ACC is the one conference that you can go into and I think make an immediate impact and turn them into something that they haven't been for several years. I think they're 2-9 this year. Is that their record? They're not very good.
They're not good.
So what? How soon can he get to where he needs to go? In this conference, I think the answer could be sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a one-year thing, Bob. Like, obviously, some recruits are going to follow him to Virginia Tech that were originally going to go to Penn State. A lot of, like, Matt Sigg, I saw from Fort Cherry, one of the best players, maybe the best player all time in the Whippeel, is going to take a visit to Virginia Tech because they're very close with Franklin. There's a quarterback, Troy Hoon from California, supposed to go to Penn State, four-star guy, is now going to visit Franklin at Virginia Tech. So there's a domino effect that Penn State's going to lose some transfers. There's six coaches or staff members that are leaving Penn State to go to Virginia Tech. So it's going to be somewhat fast for him, I think. But at the same time, how easy is it to go to a place like Virginia Tech and automatically win where they don't have the resources like some of the big SEC, Big Ten schools are? He's going to win there eventually. I think it's going to happen because the ACC is just so down. Like, there's no dominant program.
Yeah, Clemson and Florida State used to be those programs.
And Miami is a fraud half the time.
I don't think Miami's going to last here.
No.
And even get into this playoff.
Notre Dame won't join a conference.
Right, so I think the pathway is there for immediate success. What that looks like next year, I'm not sure. But I think in time, he can certainly have things his way there. And then the next question would be, is this someplace he'd want to just remain for as long as he could, like he had a 12-year run? Or would there be another job that intrigues him? And you know, if he has success down there, the people are going to start in 3 years from now say, hey, his name is being linked to wherever, name a school. Oregon, his name is being linked to. And what happens then is he has to make a choice, and they do too. And that choice normally means a big increase in pay.
Right, and I'm sure that Franklin would not have gone there unless there was a huge infusion of money that is being inserted into the program. So you wonder how that will grow and develop like it's gone with Cignetti in Indiana. Because that's the comparison for me, because Cignetti's in year two. He's at a program that is not a football blue blood. That's a basketball school. But he has made Indiana football so relevant on the national stage. Here comes all this money out of nowhere. Could that be the same case with Virginia Tech that has a good history?
I think they do. They're more of a football school than Indiana was.
Right, which could make Franklin stay.
Right, it could be. So he's going to have a nice opportunity down there, and I'm sure he's going to be better sooner than what normally down there in Virginia Tech people might think, given what they've used as head coach material the last several years.
Another takeaway that I have from just this entire cycle that I think is interesting, Bob, like, people immediately, when Franklin was fired, was like, oh, well, Penn State, and I was guilty of this as well, Penn State is definitely going to be able to grab a big name. I never thought like Marcus Freeman or Dan Lanning was possible, but you're starting to see even LSU being opened up. LSU in Florida, and Arkansas is not a bad job. Virginia Tech, not a bad job.
No.
there's not a lot of coaches that are just very eager, and maybe because it is we're in the middle of the season, to jump and say, yeah, I'll jump ship. I'll go to this program.
What about Penn State now? You know, you got to act sooner rather than later here,
right?
Because of all the transfers and the NIL and everything that goes with this, the longer it takes them to get a decision, I think the worse it'll hurt them for at least next year. So what is their timeline? I know that you've talked to some guys from Penn State.
Yeah. It's
what is it? It should be now. They should figure this out sooner.
Well, I find it really fascinating because right when Franklin was originally fired, it was Cignetti, and then there was the Urban Meyer talk, and then there was the Eli Drinkwitz talk, and now it seems like it's a lot quieter, and a lot of people are trying to push for Terry Smith to even potentially be the head coach. I don't know if that's going to happen. I want to see Terry stick on in some role, maybe as the general manager. He needs to stay. The infusion that he has brought to the program.
But I think they need to go, and all due respect to Terry Smith, but they need to bring in somebody.
They do. Yeah, I fully agree.
Who's had a resume and get this done. And yes, he should be there forever if Terry wants to be there forever.
And somebody that can even bring over players. I think the Missouri coach might be the most logical name, or maybe Bob Chesney from James Madison. Hartline from Ohio State, I think, is just, I don't think he's ready. Would he bring some guys from Ohio State? I doubt it, but he can recruit. Yeah. He can really recruit. We see that with the wide receivers they bring in there at Ohio State. And first year, fully running the plays, he's done a nice job. So it's kind of wait and see, Bob. But Franklin gets a leg up. He gets a 2-week head start because Penn State's probably going to hire its next head coach, whoever it's going to be, the week after that final game that's played in 2 weeks against Rutgers.
2 weeks is a long time. You can get a lot of people to commit to you in 2 weeks.
No doubt.
We'll get back to the phone lines here in 1 second, but I want to also talk about Pitt because, you know, after that disappointment that you had with Notre Dame, Pitt, they couldn't get to the ACC championship game, and this is what it's going to take. They have to win out, and then SMU and Virginia both have to lose a game. Virginia only has one game left. So SMU's a team you got to worry about. If SMU and Virginia win out, then those two teams are in, and Pitt wins out. If one of those two lose, Miami gets in if all three have to lose. That's why Miami is the best case, I think, for them is to have all three teams lose, but that's hard to do. And I think if they're going to get in, it has to be at large, but I don't see them moving up to where they have to go. So they may be left out.
No, so I did some research on this, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, Bob. But the only way that the ACC would not get a team in is it's the five conference champions automatically get in. Now, that doesn't slot them in any particular spot. That could be, if they're so low, they could be like 10, 11, and 12
right
for like the bottom three conferences. So the only way that the ACC doesn't get in is if all the ACC teams that are right at the top, like Miami, Georgia Tech, all like lose, and James Madison in the rankings ultimately passes them, and James Madison wins its conference.
What about Tulane? They're up above them
wins its
in
conference.
Many ways. Yeah.
So your five conference champions would be Ohio State, hypothetically, whoever comes out of the SEC, Texas Tech in the Big 12, Tulane in their conference, and then James Madison in their conference. But that's if the ACC doesn't have a team that wins its conference that's ranked higher.
It has to be ranked higher. That's
right.
The key to it.
And I just don't
And the
I don't
problem
see that
is
happening.
How do you move up when everyone else maybe above you is winning as well?
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
And you can move up step by step. For example, Pitt's not even in the top 25 of the BCS
right.
Playoff college rankings. So for them to beat Georgia Tech, That's a team that's ranked 16th right now,
I think. Yes, that would get Pitt ranked again,
I think. It would get them ranked, but where?
24.
Okay.
Right back to where you started
then,
a couple weeks ago.
Then if you beat Miami, where will it get you?
20, probably 18, 19, because that's back-to-back ranked wins.
But that means that if you could be shut out of the ACC championship game.
You could.
And you would never have a chance as an at-large if you're ranked that way.
But if you win those two games, so then what? It would be hypothetically SMU against
Virginia.
If you beat Miami.
Virginia has one game left, I think, and they would be in it.
And Virginia's ranked too.
Right,
so
they're
I think 19. It's a long shot because right now James Madison is not in the top 25. Should
right.
they be? I think so, right at 24, 25, right in that area that Tulane is in.
It's very complicated, and it comes down to what they do here in the next 2 weeks, and can they get back on that train. We'll talk to Jeff Hathorn coming up in the 1 o'clock hour and see what he has to say because he's down doing basketball tonight, so he's on the move, and we'll get his take. Let's get back to the lines. I know Leslie has waited for quite some time. My apologies to you, Leslie. What's going on?
No worries, Bob. Thanks. How's it going?
Good. How are you? What's up?
Oh, I'm doing great. I guess I'm off topic now. I was calling about the Pirates. I feel like I've elected myself a liaison between Bob Nutting and the fans. And if I could just get his ear for like a lunch. I'm
are you willing to pay for that lunch?
I am. It's okay. On me.
So,
and I was hoping that you could possibly like pass my information on to him. And I mean, if anyone can do it, you can do it. You could make this happen, and I could make something big happen for the fans.
All right, just take it a step further. What would you talk to him about then? Just say this would happen.
Oh, boy. I would be like, let's spend. Ask my husband. I can spend money. And
well, so can I. I've been good at spending his money. I've been good at every year I want to do it.
Let's do this.
He's not going to do it.
What's that?
Not to that level. I just don't think it's going to happen. But, Leslie, thank you. If you want to take Austin to lunch, he'd be more than willing to take you somewhere, or you can take him somewhere, right? You'd go.
I like lunch.
I would definitely take you out to lunch.
I think we as a show should go to lunch with Leslie.
Yeah,
and Leslie, that'd be wonderful.
We'll see what her ideas
love
are.
That.
Thanks, Leslie. Appreciate your call. But that's not going to happen. So
no, I don't think there's going to be any one-on-one lunch with Leslie and the owner anytime soon.
But we'll see. This there have been some moves already. Not a lot of them, but there will be more. What are the Pirates going to do in this? I still shake my head. I hope they do something a lot bigger and surprise all of us because it would give a jolt to the offseason heading into the regular season. And I also would love to figure out how much money they would make if they actually had a playoff team. We saw what happened in 13, 14, 15 when people were wearing Pirate stuff everywhere. There's obviously money to be made there. There's money to be made in ticket sales. You can raise ticket prices even more than they already do, make a lot of money there with concessions. I mean, to me, you'll make what you spend eventually. In the Ohtani case in Los Angeles, they've already brought back all the money they've spent on him.
Yeah.
And that's $700 million. I know he's a global reach and everything else, but, man, their winning is profitable
yeah.
if you do it right.
Yeah, that's a great point.
But you have to spend to get there. You have to start, and you may lose a little at the beginning, right? But so be it.
Ohtani might be a little bit of an outlier just because of the reach that he has globally
right.
with Japan and
but they knew that when they signed him to that kind of deal.
No doubt. And they immediately could pay for it right away. Like, all that deferred money to Ohtani, they could just, shove it in the bank and say, here you go, no worries, like the Bobby Bonilla deal. So, yeah, you should be able to see some ROI. Get some return on that investment. More wins, more fans, more merchandise,
more
opportunity.
Yep. And not to mention the fact that people, will then, they've had a hard time getting season ticket holders to renew. You can get that and a whole bunch of new clients as well. 412-928-9370 is the number. Steelers, we've been talking a little bit about that, waiting for today's practice, and we will find out if Aaron Rodgers practices or not. My bet is he won't practice today. He may practice tomorrow. If he doesn't practice today or tomorrow, then that tells you something, I think, because I think he has to get some of this practice time in before they go into a stadium and play a team like the Bears, because you don't want mistakes caused by that wrist or whatever. So I bet he does a little today. He'll do a lot more tomorrow.
And this is what Aaron had to say back and forth yesterday about the injury.
It feels better than it did Sunday, that's for sure. Second down play when it happened. And I was in a lot of pain. We were late in the play clock, called timeout, came over. I felt like I could go one more play and then went in got it checked out.
Doing try to get it better.
I think that's kind of the same question. Yeah. A lot of rehab. Was thankful to get today to work with Gabe and just focus on rehab for a day. I'm trying to get back on the field tomorrow and see what I can do.
Aaron, have you been able to find a brace?
We're working through that.
Would it be a pain tolerance thing for you?
No, it'd be a safety thing.
Yeah, safety is an issue. You don't want to make it worse. If you make it worse, and that's where coaching staff has to look at it and say, and the medical staff say, it's our best guess that if he goes in there, he could re-injure this and it could make it worse. And if that's the case, then you certainly have somebody in Mason Rudolph who can get there and play. So we will see how that goes. Back to the phone lines. We have one of our favorites, don't we?
Yeah, our guy Ryan in New Jersey to chime in.
Hey, Ryan, what's going on?
Hey, Bobby. What I wanted to call in about is about this discussion with, you know, the Pirates are in and they're going to spend. Though I don't know how you want to leak that you were, you know, 20% below what a guy signs for. I don't know how that's a show of strength, but whatever, it is what it is. I think what's going on, Nightingale last week did an article about baseball losing $1.8 billion last year. Did you see? I don't know if you guys
I saw it. Yeah.
Yeah. Nightingale is basically on speed dial for the Steinbrenners and Steve Cohen and wherever. That's his lane. So that is a message. Nobody colludes more on earth than a professional sports organization's ownership. So the NFL, they all collude. The NBA, you know, baseball might be the worst. They're all colluding. So there is a unified front for changing the labor market. We know this. And I think what's going on, this may benefit the Pirates. This is why this is important to Pittsburgh. So, you know, Cohen and the Dodgers and the, you know, the Yankees and whoever, Cubs, whoever it is, are being told to temper their spending this offseason and bring it down a little, while the under market, and we know who's at the top of that list, is being told, hey, you got to help yourself and us out and bring your spending up so that the range is more in the middle. Because I don't know if they'll ever get, because the players' association's like the mafia, they're not going to get past them, but I don't know if they'll ever get a cap and a floor. You have to have both. You can't have a floor and no cap. You can't have a cap and no floor. But what they really want, from what I've read, you know, being around bigger markets, is they really want a contract term limit. They don't want 11, 13-year deals. They want the cost certainty of, sure, we'll overpay a guy each year, but we want a 6-year deal or we want a 7-year deal. We don't want, you know, 13-year backloaded Juan Soto contract.
Right.
So, where Bob Nutting falls into this, and he's probably miserable. He's going to be miserable either way, unless everybody leaves him alone. I think, as I think they're being told, hey, put $50 million into your team, get yourself up in the hundred and some million range, because if we're some, they want, you know, if they can work it where everybody's in that 200 range and they can afford it, because they just signed, they just got a new rights revenue deal yesterday was announced with ESPN and TBS or whoever. So that would be a jeopardy if they have a labor lockout. So, you know, they have plenty of money. Baseball is not football, you know, and it doesn't get the easy money the NBA does. But there is plenty of money. It's not about the gate. That's hockey. It doesn't matter if there's 10,000 people at PNC Park. They can pay it. They can get up there. And then, hey, when you win, people show up. So
yep,
I just hope the Pirates benefit. I'm not a Pirates fan.
If that's Ryan, what it would take, thank you for the call. If that's what it would take, then I'd be all for that. You know, if it's just get to the point, because you're right, you got to have both a floor and a cap. I know a lot of people say floor. Well, that's not going to do a whole lot more other than force that team to get to that floor, and they won't have to go any. If you're trying to win, you need both, I think, to make that happen. But listen, whatever it is, I just want to see them spend a little bit more on their roster. They need it. They have to do it. They have an opportunity to do it. Whether or not they do, my bet is they won't, but they should. And I'm not talking about just a $1 million deal here to Adam Frazier, $4 million to Tommy Pham. I want to get this guy for $3 million. None of that. It has to be more significant than that.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.